some last few weeks on breaking the cycles. And breaking the cycles, while you're turning it, John 17 is where we'll start, and we'll be a few different places. First week, we talked pretty much about just recognizing and admitting cycles. And that's where we started off. And and then last week, we went into changes. And you got to make changes. And so anybody remember anything we needed, might need to change? We mentioned four or five things we could change. That you can't just do the same thing and expect to be victorious when you've been doing something a certain way. So anybody? Yes. Change your music? Okay, good. Anything else?
Change your friends.
Change your friends? Good. Anything
places.
Else? What's that?
Places.
Okay. Yep, change your entertainment goes along with your companionships and who you're around. And so just you gotta make changes. And it really is logical and of course biblical, but think about changing your path also. But you don't keep everything the same. It's like somebody saying, "I really need to lose weight." And what are you going to do? I'm not going to do anything, but I really want to. And it just doesn't do anything, you know. And if in a spiritual life, you say, "I got to change my life," and you'd say, "Well, what are you going to do?" "Well, you know, I really want to." Okay, well, if intentions can make us lose weight, we'd all be skinny. And it's not intentions. What are you going to do? What steps are you going to take? And in the spiritual life, you got to make changes. You can't be in cycles. Remember, your cycle is what you're going to do. Your cycle is consistent. Your cycle's what it's. Which I most often explain to people is ruts in the road. You're naturally going to slide into those ruts. You have to steer and fight to get out of those ruts, and you will always have to until you have new ruts. And so your cycles are ruts in your life. You were handed them most times by your family, and one of the things, sometimes your parents had some issues. And you love your parents, so you don't want to be critical of them. And it's not being critical of your parents. You see the positive things, but you do say, "I got handed something here. I've got to get out of it and improve upon what I was given." And so you do that. And then also, it's good to think about what you might be handing others. What cycles in your life you're going to hand to your children, because you're going to. And just because you tell them don't do this doesn't mean they're not going to do it. It's they get it from you. The parents are training them. So let's go. Next lesson is John 17, and I want to start at verse 15. Of course, the Lord is praying here. It's the Lord's long prayer, Jesus praying to his Father, and as he's preparing for the cross and things, and leaving us, leaving the disciples. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get our third lesson here. Our Father in heaven, we come just as Jesus did here in this chapter, praying. Because we need something to happen. We need, Jesus was praying for us that we'd be sanctified, that we'd be strong, that we would be kept from the evil of the world. And we come to you and ask that you would help us, Father, in the same things. We ask you to help us understand how to break cycles and be transformed and be different, more godly. And we pray that your Spirit would please speak to us and that we would get some good truth. This morning in the Sunday school and during the main service, Lord, we just ask for your presence. We claim the promise where two or more are gathered, you're in the midst of them. And we need spiritual thoughts and heavenly thoughts and a cleansing from the world thoughts and then the way to victory, Father. So we pray you give us these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about, in this third lesson, breaking the cycle by the Bible. Breaking by the Bible. And so in verse 15 here it says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Of the world is in a sense of who you belong to, where your beginning is from. My children are of the Byram, or of me and my wife, and so he says, "Hey, we are not they are not of the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And so even as I'm not of the world, and so this world shouldn't be ordering you with its ways. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus' prayer is the way we're sanctified. Sanctify, to make clean, to make holy, to set them apart from this world. You do that through thy truth. And so truth sanctifies you. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. Okay? The word of God is truth. The word of God sanctifies us. I'll read out of you Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 says this. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So the washing of the water by the word. So that's not an unknown concept here, certainly in the Bible. The Bible sanctifies you. Though it's like water that washes you. And we get sanctified through the word. And so we see this. This lesson is interesting because it's something I've taught on so many times and taught people and used so many times with people. But I really realized a new part doing this. It'll change how I work with people. And I am always trying to do better and figure out how to impact lives better and have more impact on people and grow in these things. And this is going to help me a lot. I'm excited about using this in people's lives. The word sets us free. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And again, some well-known verses, but the word sets us free. Sometimes somebody will have an issue and their issue is complicated, their issue is a mess, maybe you never dealt with that issue, and you're trying to help them to get victory, and they're asking you, well, first of all, the Bible says pray for them in James 5. Your prayer will make a big difference. You pray for them. But one of the things, if you don't even know the answer, you know the answer, because the answer is get them into the Bible, because the Bible will cleanse them. And it doesn't matter what the issue is. Humanity is good at thinking of new sins and new ways to mess up their lives. And sometimes you just look at somebody and said, you worked hard to make that much of a mess, didn't you? And you ever see a mess that somebody makes their life and you say, man, that was hard to work. You had to work hard at that. And boy, it's you're in trouble. And humans are good at that. And by the way, they always have been. There's nothing new under the sun. And you look at some of the situations people were in the Bible, and you say, boy, you got yourself in a mess there. And that the Lord can deliver. But the answer is the Bible. And the Bible sets us free. John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, then Jesus said, Jesus unto those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God will make people free. You got bondage in your life? The word of God can set you free. The truth and the word and the washing, and it does these things for us. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we see again here, the Bible, the truth, what the word says, and the Bible itself, it is powerful enough to set us free. So if you want to break cycles in your life, what you need is you need the Bible. And the first thing I want to say on this is what I kind of saw it all, but I didn't understand how practical this is number one, have a Bible washing. Have a Bible washing. Now, God does this to people without maybe us knowing to tell them this. I've just seen it happen. God does this naturally. But a washing through the word of God will cleanse you. And so you need to do that. Ephesians 5:26, a washing of the water of the word. John 17, sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible will wash you and it cleanses you. Now let me take you back to the Old Testament, show you a couple of illustrations of this. I want to go to Nehemiah. It's before Psalms, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job, Psalms. Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, they came back to rebuild the wall, and they were doing it. And of course, Ezra came as they were rebuilding the temple. And Ezra and Nehemiah realized that the people who were there, the Jewish people, were not sanctified. We're not doing. They had intermarried with the people of the lands. They were not cleansed. They were just kind of immersed in the wickedness of the world, which is bad and still is bad today. And there they were. And they were just all messed up, and they weren't clean. It was so bad that Nehemiah sat down and wept for hours and hours and hours when he found out how bad it was. And they said, we've got to cleanse this nation, get them ready for the temple. Get them ready and get them cleansed. The Levites, the priests, all the people, none of them are cleansed. They're all messed up in their families and their morality, and we are in a mess. And so they did the wise thing. They took out the Bible. And Nehemiah, of course, is a scribe. Ezra is a scribe and the one who took care of the Bible and copied the Bible. But in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of the people. This is Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. And those that could understand and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And so he's reading the Bible. Now, it gives a time frame here from the morning to middle of the day. Well, let's just guess a time here. What time do you think morning is? Okay, we said 6, 8. Let's say 7 o'clock. Don't say noon, please. I'll be very discouraged. Okay, what do you think the middle of the day is? Okay, let's say 2. So let's say 5 hours. They read the Bible. Okay, let's say 6 hours. I don't know, 8 hours, 4 hours. I don't know. They read it for a long time. Why? The country needs sanctified. They just lined everybody up and said, sit here, we're going to read to you. And they stood up in a big, they stood in the pulpit then, that'd be fun. And you stood in the pulpit and they read the Word of God hour after hour after hour after hour. Why? The nation need cleanse. And they needed to do that. Look at verse, 18. And also day by day from the first day to the last, they read the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. So they didn't just read it the one day. Day after day, they kept reading the Bible to them. Why? They needed sanctified. They needed fixed. They needed cleansed. Look at chapter 9. Now in the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloths. And earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in the place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord God. Okay, ready? So now we got it. This is afterward. So first they read it morning till noonday, then they did it day after day after day, and then they began to read it. And they read it 1/4 of the day. You know how much 1/4 a day is? 6 hours a day. Wow. I know we're not math majors. Think about that. 6 hours straight. 6 hours. I mean, let's say you get up at 6 in the morning. You read it till noon. That's something, isn't it? It's like your December 28th days when you're trying to finish your Bible reading. But they read the Bible. Why? The nation needed sanctified, and they immersed themselves in Scripture. Now, I understand we live in a day where we fight and strive and push and plan and work to get you to read your Bible every day for about 20 minutes. And by the way, if everybody in church read the Bible for 20 minutes, I'd be satisfied. Now, some of you do more than that. I know that. Some of you read it for an hour a day. Great. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, in our church, way, way, way ridiculously disproportionate amount of people read their Bible every day. But I want to say, 6 hours a day. Why? Because they needed it. And there's a time. There is a time when that's important. You know, I find this. You get hungry when you're getting healthy or growing. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You ever, when I get sick and lose my appetite, you know I'm sick then, and I don't want to eat anything. And then all of a sudden, I will just, this happened to me, I was fighting something off this week a little bit. All of a sudden, I didn't have a big appetite. Then all of a sudden, I was just ravenous. I'm like, give me food. And I just couldn't wait to eat. And I wanted so much food. I usually pile too much on my plate because I just want to eat so bad. Why? Because it's getting healthy. You ever notice when your kids are going in the growing spurt? You're like, where did that food go? Plop. Put more food in there. Anyway, where did that food go? And they just keep eating. You know, teenagers? Oh, man. You just keep on feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. They just devour food. Why? They're growing. They're changing, and they are monsters, and they devour everything, and you can't feed them enough. And babies, you know, if you grew the same rate you grew the first 2 years, you'd be like 47 feet tall when you're done. And they are growing, and they want to eat all day long. I mean, how big can their stomach be? And they drink the 6 ounces of whatever, and then they drink it 2 hours later. They want another one. I mean, because they're growing like crazy, and they're hungry. Okay, they're hungry. By the way, you know when someone's usually dying when they quit being hungry. They'll lose their appetite. And you know they're getting pretty close here. And so I want to say this. So often a new Christian will get saved. And you'll talk to them and they're excited, and they're starting serving God and start growing. And all of a sudden, if somebody comes back to God, they've been away from years and years and years. And all of a sudden, I'll say, What have you been doing? Said, well, I went to work and I just came back, read my Bible all day. I've been reading my Bible. I can't get enough. You know what dumb older Christians do sometimes? They try to make them like them. See, new Christians, they are full of the Holy Spirit. They haven't quenched the Spirit yet. And they want to witness to everybody everywhere. And they do, I mean, they got this unstoppable zeal. And they just want to go do everything. And they want to read the Bible all day long. And older Christians, who used to be like that, by the way, say, well, you know, calm down. You'll balance out. You don't need to read your Bible that. But dummy, shh. The devil in the world is going to calm every Christian down. That's going to happen naturally by the flesh and the world and the devil all their lives. Don't throw water on fire for God. Okay? Maybe you should go up to their fire level. But they're going to be, many times they read their Bible an unbelievable amount. Why? They are coming out of the world, and God's given this incredible appetite, and they just want to read and read and read and read and read and be, and they can't get enough of church. They can't get enough of preaching. Why? Because they're hungry. Because they need it. Why? Your body tells you when you need something. Do you know as you get more and more sensitive to your body and your health, your body will tell you when you need certain nutrition? And you realize, I don't have enough. And I know you might not have the knowledge to study that. You might not have studied it out, but you'll just know. If you get sensitive, your body will tell you, you need something green.
No.
Yeah. He does, but you have a deaf ear. And but your body tells, and your body ever tell you had too much coffee?
Yeah.
And your body tells you, and your body, thirst tells you needs to drink something. Okay, do you know when you get really dehydrated, you'll drink something, but you'll be drinking a lot for a while, for days, to catch up, because your body needs it, and your spirit will be saying, I'm hungry, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, when you've been away from God for a long time, and you have a bunch of bad things in your life, you need a desire to grow and change your life, you need a lot of Bible, so God gives you that hunger for growth, because it's going to make you grow. And so you will need an immense amount of Bible. Now, when you're serving God and doing good and having victory and doing God and doing well and you're strong and everything, you might read your Bible for a half hour and you're fine. You're not starving. You're not cleansing. You don't have to cleanse all that much. Now, it'll never hurt you. You'll never get too much Bible in this wicked world. But I want to say, when you want to be changed, you need victory. You need a transformation. You need to get out of a cycle. You better break out your Bible and go ahead and turn off the TV and turn everything else off and get there in a quiet spot and spend a lot of time every day. An hour, 2 hours? You might try. I have a church who to raise funds for their church, they have a Bible-thon. And they call it, and they read the Bible one after the other, the teenagers do, and they read it, I don't know how many, 24 hours straight, I think they do. And they always call me and say, hey, can you give sponsor our Bible-thon? And so I think, that's about as good a thing as you can have. So I will send them some money for their fundraiser for their youth group. And why? Because it ain't going to hurt anybody to read the Bible. And so a washing, you see that. And 6 hours a day here to cleanse and change a nation. Don't you think probably we need more Bible than Christians did 100 years ago? Do you think we need more Bible probably than when you were a kid? Probably need more. We need these things, and it is such a need to have the Bible every day. Let's look at another illustration. This is 2 Kings. So in my life, I never really thought of this Bible cleansing thing and just take a time of a baptism and immersion in the Bible and do that. And we have people in our church going through that right now. People just, I mean, they just can't get enough. They tell me they want longer sermons. In America. Oh, man. Now, I overseas, I get that. In America, where they need it more. And my 45-minute, 50-minute sermons, it's pretty long for America today. I think the national average is somewhere around 20 minutes. They've cut them back big time. People need it. I can't get out enough of what people need in 15 minutes. I'm just starting. And my watch is like fast motion when I'm preaching. Look at this. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. They found the Bible, by the way. They lost it. The nation is a mess. And they found the Bible while they're cleaning the temple out. And they brought the Bible they brought the before the king. And verse 10, it says, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, and the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Machaliah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire the Lord for me and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do it. And this nation began having revival under King Josiah. They cleansed the whole nation that was full of idolatry and sexual immorality, and they cleansed it, and they fixed it, and the nation was transformed. Why? Because somebody read the Bible. And they read the whole Bible, and they read it to him. The nation was changed. Look at chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, and the king went up in the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which is found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all their soul, and to perform the words of this covenant which were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They had a response. Wait a minute. He says right there, they read all the words of the book of the covenant. Now, we're just going to guess here. We don't know for sure what they read. Most people would think, you know, the Bible would think they just read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay? If I'm going to be conservative, I'm going to say they read the book of the covenant. Well, the covenant started in Exodus and ended in Deuteronomy. So let's say they might have read Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and maybe Joshua. Maybe just Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Maybe all five of them. We don't know. They generally thought of the first five books of the Bible as the law that was generally thought of. But let's say they at least read three books. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Four books. That's the covenant. Specifically, Genesis is more historical. So let's say they read those four books. You know how long it would take to read those four books? Exodus is 40 chapters. Leviticus, I think, is 39 or something. And Deuteronomy is, 35 or so. And and it's a lot of chapters in there. Numbers. I mean, these are long books, long chapters. Numbers has chapter, I think Numbers 13 is like 85 verses. It's big, these books are. They read a lot of Bible here. They read the whole thing to the people at one time. Just like they read for 6 hours at one time. Why? Because the nation need cleansed. And when they read it, the people said, we want to do that. Why? The Bible is powerful. It's powerful. And it does amazing things. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A Bible bath. Listen, I've seen God do this to people when they come to the Lord and they start growing. When they come back to the Lord, they get a natural hunger, but it's just something I'm going to start recommending. You know what? You need to immerse yourself in the Bible. I'm going to recommend and just see how many hours we can get them to start reading the Bible the next day. Why? Because it's what they did in the Bible. Because the Bible sanctifies you. And the longer the bath, you know, the longer the shower. And so it's a good thing. Let's look at Psalm 119. You want to break a cycle? Read a bunch of Bible. And it'll give you the truth. First of all, the truth sanctifies you. And so you'll get the truth. The truth will tell you what you need to do. The truth will tell you about your cycles. You know, it's so funny. You start reading the Bible, and sometimes you'll say, those people are so dumb. And the Holy Spirit will say, hey, that's you sometimes. And you step back and look at a whole life, it's easy to see cycles when you're looking at a nation over decades in 10 verses. It's easy to see cycles. A little harder to see your own cycles. But you know, you start reading the Bible and you start seeing yourself. You ever see yourself in a Bible character? Yeah. Hopefully you see yourself in, you know, Paul and not Samson. But sometimes we see ourselves in the wrong person. Sometimes we see ourselves in Judas. Sometimes we see ourselves in Peter. Sometimes we see ourselves, and we're both, we usually like Peter, up and down, all over the place. And you see yourself, and just read it, and it starts revealing your life to you. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible starts revealing what you're doing. It starts clarifying your life. Hey, King Josiah didn't know how bad the nation was until somebody read the Bible to him. It's so neat when somebody really starts getting the Bible and studying it and listening to preaching, and they really start, and all of a sudden they'll say, man, how did I not see? How was I so blind? The Bible brings light. It reveals the truth, but you need a whole bunch of it sometimes to see with clarity. So it just makes you see things. It clarifies things. Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy words. The Bible's going to tell you how. And taking heed to it will cleanse your way. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. First, we said have a Bible washing. Secondly, memorize the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bible memorization. I wish I could memorize the Bible as well as I could before. It's a little harder. I'm so glad we started a Bible memorization club when I was a teenager, and we started memorizing the Bible, and we would have, I don't know, we would have usually about 15 people come, sometimes a dozen did come, adults and teenagers, before a service, and we'd sit down and we would give them a list of verses we could memorize, and we'd try to memorize a verse together, and it was the first memorization club we ever seen, so we didn't really know how to do it, and we started memorizing the Bible, and by the time I went to Bible college, I'd memorized 25 chapters. And the Bible, and just memorizing the Bible. Why? A lot of good reasons. It says you hide in your heart that you might not sin against God. Let's look at how Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 4. I'm saying if you want to break the cycles, the Word of God will break the cycles. You just got to get a lot of it and immerse yourself in it and read it the whole bunch. And you will, the devil will fight you. You won't do it accidentally. The Bible doesn't fall in your lap and open up. And you've got to make yourself read it. You've got to set a time. You've got to get away from interruptions. Your cell phone will ring. Your favorite show will be on. Your neighbor will call you. Your cat will get its tail caught in the door. Everything will happen and interrupt your Bible reading. You've got to determine to read your Bible and stick with it. And everything happens to interrupt it. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted. And the tempter came to him, verse 3. And it says, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus quoted scripture to resist temptation. He's attacked by the devil again in verse 5 and 6. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Devil takes him a third time, says, "All these things, verse 9, I'll give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus was tempted, and Jesus, the Son of God, used memorized scripture three times to fight off the attack. Listen, when you're in the passion in the middle of temptation, you're not going to run and get your concordance out and look up your favorite verse. But when you can quote the scripture right there, and you know what? You'll find once you get it in your heart, you'll find God brings it right there to your mind at the right time because you have it memorized. But you got to memorize it. And we give you a memory verse every week to try to do that. And just do those. That's 52 verses in a year. If you memorize just our memory verses every week, I think you have a lot more victory. I think you can pick out a chapter of the Bible. And one of my kids asked me this week, what would be a good chapter to memorize? And I gave him a good chapter of the Bible to memorize. You will find that if you will find a good chapter, memorize a chapter maybe, that'll be a blessing to you. But to start off, memorize one verse at a time, and it'll be a huge blessing to you and giant and powerful. And so you really ought to memorize the Bible. Jesus did that. Whatever your cycle, find all the verses in the Bible on it and memorize them. Say your thing is anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Memorize those verses. If it's lust, you might memorize Matthew 5, 28. And if it's laziness, you might memorize the verses on diligence and what a slothful man has and what it does to them. If you're a gossip, you might memorize Ephesians chapter 4, 29, and other verses. Whatever your problem is, whatever your cycle is, there's Bible on it. God was smart enough to know all the history of mankind and all the sins. And by the way, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. It's just an extension of a certain sin. That's all it is. They just found a new way to do it, but it's the same sin, same temptation. Memorize the verses in the Bible on that subject. You'll find your cycle starts getting broken. Why? Because the Word of God's going to cleanse you. The Word of God's going to cleanse you. And just find what the Bible says and look it out. Because the Bible, memorizing it, does that to you. Number three, we said number one, have a Bible washing. Number two, memorize the Bible. Number three, meditate on it all the time. Let's look at Joshua 1. Joshua 1, meditate in the Bible all the time. Meditate on it all the time. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You are blessed when the Bible is in your heart all the time. Meditate therein day and night. It says the same thing in Psalms 1. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? You are blessed when you spend all day in the Bible, when you're meditating on it, thinking about it all the time, and consumed with it. You say, I don't know, that's kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard to, don't take the microphone out before you get your drink. And so, you, I see, man, how do you, that's really, really hard. How do you think about it all the time, night and day? My mind doesn't work that way. My mind thinks, you know, well, you'd be surprised how much your mind gets consumed with something. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your heart overflows and it comes out your mouth. I've noticed a lot of people are thinking a lot about the Seahawks right now. A lot of the day. A lot of the time. I wonder what you've thought more about in the last week, the Seahawks or the Bible? What's good preaching, preacher? Amen! I wonder how much... Isn't it amazing when you're mad at somebody and you want to tell them off, your mind doesn't have a problem thinking about something for a lot, does it? Matter of fact, you go back and forth, up and down. You say the same thing to them in your mind 45 times. And you're thinking about it all day. And you keep going, reliving over and over what they did to you. Our minds can get consumed, can't they, with something? You know what I'm talking about here? Okay? When you're worried about something, when you're about to get evicted or they're about to take your car, you don't know how you're going to pay this bill, your mind thinks about something a lot, doesn't it? Or when you have a health issue coming up, you don't say, I need to focus my mind and think about my health is falling apart. I just can't seem to think about it. No, your mind will think, your mind can get consumed. Now, our minds drag us along because we preach an old sermon on this about we're not of a sober mind and our minds aren't under control and we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity. But I want to say, once you really start reading the Bible a lot and you think about how important it is and you get your mind on heavenly things and you begin to love like the Lord loves, your mind gets drawn to the Bible a lot more. It really does. And when you spend more time reading the Bible than surfing the net or watching TV and you meditate on it and you think about it day and night, you'll find your mind, you start getting that cleansing, you start getting victory, and God starts changing your life, and you start being blessed. And the effort it took to spend time in the Bible, and it takes effort. The devil fights. It's hard to read, and you can be a voracious reader, but it's hard to read your Bible every day until it becomes a rut. It's hard. And even then, it's still a battle. You read your Bible every day. Until you do that, you will just find a battle. You'll find stress and troubles in life. But when you do it, the blessings are so much more worth than the trouble and the work was to read it. My Bible time used to be at night. I've tried to switch my life to an earlier life, and so my Bible time's mostly in the morning. But you know what? Throughout the day, you hear and see all kinds of things. I need more than that. So we usually do Bible time at night with the family. And then when I go out at night to pray, I read the Bible some more. Why? I need lots of Bible. And it keeps me straight. And you need a cleansing. Breaking your cycle by the Bible. The truth will reveal the cycle. It'll reveal what you need to do. It'll give you the answer for victory. It'll bring God's blessing in your life. It'll set you free. You just need a lot of it. And you say, man, I've got this and this and this and this struggle and this thing in my life. Maybe your family has it. Maybe you should just sit down with your family and just say, we're just going to read Genesis today. Or maybe we're going to read the book of John today. Maybe we're going to read the book of Nehemiah or Romans. We're going to read the book of Ephesians and Colossians. We're going to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians today. That wouldn't even take you, by the way, an hour in most cases. And it would change your life. I had a little girl named Monique. She was my bus kid back in Chicago. And she wanted a Bible. She asked me for a Bible. Just terrible, terrible home, terrible situation. And I was so poor, but I went in the lost and found of the Bible college, and there was lost and found Bibles. And all there was is one left Bible that, you know, people usually got their Bibles. And I found this one lost and found Bible. It was missing the back cover. I was embarrassed of it, but I got it for a quarter. And that's about how poor I was. So I took this Bible up, and I was embarrassed to give it to her because it was pretty beat up and didn't have a back cover. And she grabbed the Bible, hugged it, and she was so excited. And you got to understand, these kids in Chicago, their public school education was so bad. I mean, if I showed you notes they'd write to me, they were fifth, sixth grade, and their letters looked like an educated first grader, maybe. I mean, backward letter. I mean, they were uneducated. A lot of it because they were learning English. I mean, they're learning the language, not English like school. And the schools were so troubled. And these kids had terrible education. And I came back the next week, and I said, "Did you read your Bible?" And she said, "Yeah, I read it." And I said, "How much did you read?" She said, "I read the first book." I thought, good night. And I said, and I knew how slow she read. Genesis in a week. Pretty good. I said, "How long that took you?" She said, I think it took me maybe 3 hours a day. And I said, she says, Alfonso got so mad at me because I grabbed him, and they weren't gentle there. And I grabbed him by the hair and pulled him and sat him down and made him sit and listen to it the whole time. He didn't like it. And her brother, her little brother. And so every week I'd come back, she'd read the next book of the Bible. And it'd take her hours a day. Because she wanted to grow and love the Bible so much. Boy, it's amazing how much she changed. She began witnessing as a fifth grader. And her life was changed. Listen, the simple key is you just got the discipline, read your Bible. Listen to preaching, by the way, it's part of it. Hearing preaching. Meditate on it, memorizing it. It's all about the Bible. Getting it, lots of it, lots of it, lots of it. And it'll cleanse you. And maybe some of you just need to say, you know what, I need a Bible cleansing day. This Tuesday, I'm going to read the Bible for 4 hours. I got the time. I'll set the time. And awesome. Maybe you need to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you. It gives us the answer. Thank you. It'll break the cycle. Thank you. It'll transform our lives. It'll set us free. I pray today that we would put ourselves in a situation where we're in it day and night, and maybe a few of us would go into a cleansing time, a detox of the word, and help us, Lord, help us to realize this is what we need. It's right there. It's not complicated or expensive. The word of God will set us free. Help us to spend the time we need to. Help us be like Nehemiah and Josiah and those others who just sat there for hours of a day getting fixed and cleansed because our worldly thinking was wrong. May we be disciplined. May we be serious about your Bible and fight the devil and the temptation to just be lazy about it. Work in our lives in a powerful way. May we make commitments for this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Before we go, how about you? It's about our eyes are closed. Who'd say today, you know what? I need to be disciplined in my Bible time. That Bible does so many things for us. That's what I need. I need more Bible. I am not living in the Bible like I should, and I'm going to. I'm going to every day discipline myself to get the Bible I need. God spoke to me. I'm going to do that. God spoke to me. Would you slip your hand up, make a commitment to God? I'm going to spend the time in the Bible every day like I need to. God spoke to me. I need to do that. You can put your hands down. Who'd say today, you know what? I'm committing to a Bible washing, a detox, an hours and hours of the Bible. And I'm going to do that this week. God spoke to me. I will find the time. I'm going to spend a significant amount of time one day or every day or whatever you decide. But a significant amount of time, you're going to go do a Bible washing this week. You say, I need that. I'm going to do it. God spoke to me. I'm going to do that. That's me. Would you slip your hand up? I'm going to make that commitment to God. I'm going to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands down. Father, thank you for the hands that are raised. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you. Something so simple solves so many different problems. And we thank you for the Word of God. Bless everybody who made that commitment and bless them when they do. Just wrap your arms around them while they're reading and speak to them and give them the answers and give them the blessings. And whatsoever they do, may it prosper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, back in.